Journalism. Broadcasting live from Florida's Sun Coast on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Don't forget you can listen to us online 24/7 at TTRN.com. And now, here's the travel guys, Marcus and Roy.
Okay, and as promised, we're joined by Evan Eggers from O2Cruise.com. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning, Marcus. How are you?
I'm amazingly well for an old man in my condition. Thank you for caring.
Now, I understand the theme of the day is Hampton, Virginia. Is that right?
You've Absolutely. Got it.
Well, fantastic. It's a great city. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about.
Indeed. And you got anything to tell us about cruising out of Hampton?
Yeah, I do. You know, just across the bridge there, pardon me, no more than a half hour, maybe 15 miles, you've got the port of Norfolk, which, like so many homeland ports here in the United States, has really seen an upsurgence in cruises that are ported there, that leave from and return to there. And, Norfolk is a great example of that, as the cruise lines really try to put more ships within driving distance of U.S. population, because some people didn't like to fly, and many cities have benefited, and Norfolk is one. So, there you've got a wide variety, everything from a two-night carnival cruise, just to kind of introduce yourself to cruising and have a quick getaway, up to 7- and 10-night cruises on, ultra-luxury Radisson Seven Seas. And the cruise line that really has dedicated themselves the most to the area, I would say, Holland America, is homeporting the Mazdom there, seasonally, but from this fall all the way through 2007 they've committed.
Excellent.
Yeah, so there are a lot of options.
And I would think, Evan, that one could do pre- and post-cruises out of there if you based yourself out of Hampton or you're driving through the country and you want to see the country and you say, you know what, we're going to stop in Hampton, we're going to take a cruise out of Norfolk, and we're going to go on and come on back and continue our visit.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. I mean, it's true everywhere. And one of the things, if I look at my very short list of things that aren't ideal about cruising, for me it's a very short list. One is exactly. You're preaching to the choir. But is that so frequently you're tempted just to fly in to catch the cruise and fly out, and the origin city is sometimes someplace that's really cool, like Norfolk and the Hampton area. So, exactly, why not? It can actually be arranged seamlessly, in one package with cruise line, hotel, and transfers. It can be made very easy. You can spend a couple of nights, a few nights before or afterwards, and take advantage of what's going on locally, which in a place like Hampton is certainly well worth doing. It's a gorgeous area.
Excellent. We had an interesting day yesterday, and we were on a program out of Fort Myers and had all sorts of people call in. One interesting call, a guy had a cruise from the Mediterranean to the States and on Costa and really didn't enjoy it, but didn't let it put him off and cruised many times after that and loved it. I think the problem with their cruise was they got seasick, in day two, and it gave them a nasty experience and they weren't too happy about it. But then we had all sorts of people call in and talk about cruising, and even one called in and spoke about cruising out of Hampton because we'd spoken about today's program on the program out of Fort Myers.
Sure, yep.
And they said that, it's a great place to cruise out of anywhere up there because you've got the best of both worlds. I mean, you've got the cooler climbs to the warmer climbs and then back to unwind before you head home. So.
Well, that's true, and as we were saying, you can do just an overnight, a quick overnight cruise. You can sail to the Southern Caribbean. You can sail to Bermuda. There's just so many options of places you can go from there, too.
Right, absolutely. Well, that's great news, and as always, fascinating stuff. What are we going to be talking about next week? Any clues?
Oh no! I mean, we're very news oriented. We've got to wait and see what happens, Marcus.
We do indeed.
It's all about the latest news. We can't predict the news. I wish I could.
That's right, and it's always new and always exciting. So thanks for calling. That's been great, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great
day. Bye.
Okay. All right. Bye now.
Gone native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks, all-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a 7-night total all-inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. You'll totally want to do it again.
Oh, yeah. I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stuff all over the world, and in every port I own the heart of at least one lovely girl. Have a pretty senorita waiting for me down in New Mexico.
Yeah, with pretty senoritas waiting for me. That's always a nice song to hear, isn't it?
It is indeed, but we don't have a pretty senorita. We have a very, very talented journalist, and one of our cohorts in the Travel Talk Radio Network, and Mr. Bob Fisher joining us. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, gentlemen. You could at least say I'm handsome.
Well, yeah, but well, not a pretty senorita, though.
And in Montreal at the moment, are you not?
Yes, I am in the Paris of North America. Montreal, my favorite city, and here we are. We're everywhere all the time.
That's
Bob,
right.
As you know, we're doing Hampton today, which was a great visit that you and I had made at the invitation of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And let's just kind of do a little overview, if you will, on what we're going to cover here. We know that we know who the guests are. We've announced that, but why don't you take it a little bit and get everybody kind of warmed up in the mood for what we're going to deliver to them today.
Well, what I really think is exciting about this new feature, Rediscovering America, is that when we travel journalists especially know this, we travel to experience the diversity of the human condition, the human experience, but also to find the commonality. But often, you know, some of the best destinations are right under our nose, staring us right in the face. And what we're doing in Rediscovering America is experiencing the obvious, but at the same time reconnecting. And this is really important, increasingly important in a global society where we, through internet and shows like Talking Travel, etc., we really get to know other destinations. It is also, at the same time, it's important to come back and look at where we are. Travel, you know, is a very inward-looking experience in the sense that you go to a destination as an outsider looking in. And if you're good at it, and the more you do, the more these skills develop, you become more and more integrated into the destination. You become part of the narrative, part of the story of that destination. But part of the inward looking of the experience is looking inward at yourself and who am I in terms of São Paulo, Brazil, or Venezuela, or whatever. And now, but we can do that same thing at home. And there are many superb destinations in Hampton, Virginia, and I'm really pleased we're starting with Hampton because this really, to me, is the prototype and certainly the role model of the destination to be rediscovered at home. And in part it's because and I call that article, Hampton, Virginia, the epicenter of American history because so much happened there that shaped the nation, shaped the culture. And this is, as you well know, it is a beautiful, placid, very traveler-friendly area in which you can really get a sense of what really happened here and how did it move outward like an earthquake. How did it reshape our culture, and what's my role in it?
Well, and my feeling while I was there was to make Hampton my base and do my day trips from there, because there, as you say, there's so many places and there's so much history in that area. But Hampton, if I were going to do day trips to Virginia Beach or wherever I was going, I'd like to do it from Hampton and then come back and sit at that beautiful waterside at the Radisson or wherever one is staying, and then just sit back and enjoy it rather than come up there, rush through a place that has so much to offer.
That's right. And the other good thing about being home base is it's a great place to start to understand all those other destinations you're talking about in Virginia. But, I mean, they're just, and it's all in the article, obviously, but there are so many absolutely world-class, and I mean that, world-class. Hampton University, that Hampton University Museum, the St. John's Church, those two forts, they are world-class historic sites. And they're obviously recognized as that. And in terms of national historic sites in the United States, they, you know, you can't emphasize enough their significance. And to start from there and to really get a sense of it, but what is important is that that entire area, and I think I use the term tribulations and triumphs of history, that's what it experienced over 200 years, 400 years. And what came out of it was the quintessential American community.
Exactly.
The community based, you remember the Main Street? Walking down that Main Street, and I'm stopping and talking to people with dogs, and you're talking to so-and-so and whatever. And that was all very real. It was not a theme park.
Exactly. And not only that, it really wasn't until after I left that I really appreciated the experience and appreciated the history and the footsteps that we were walking in. People had been there many, many, many years before us. It was just a really wonderful experience, and it's something that obviously we highly recommend.
And I think with the people in that community, really embody to are the principles and the ideals of what I would call the New World. And there are many New Worlds, but it's certainly the principle and the ideals of why people came to the Americas for a better life, for quality of life,
right,
but to reestablish new kinds of communities. And obviously it didn't happen without a lot of difficulty, and that too is American history. But that city in itself, and you're right, sitting on the harbor or standing on the ramparts of Fort Monroe and looking down to the exact spot where the first African Americans arrived, unfortunately enslaved, but it's in Congress, but it also gave birth to another very distinct North American culture.
And if I could just take a moment and mention to those that are listening at home on their computers or have access to their computers, if you go to our website at ttrn.com, you can scroll down and and look at some of the photos that are up there, and of course read through Bob's article as we're chatting with you, and while we have some of the other guests that are that will be coming on soon.
Bob, why Hampton? Why was Hampton so significant in the history of America?
Well, first and foremost, it is the oldest English-speaking community in the United States, in the Americas. And it is Jamestown, really. It
right.
is the first colony. And, when you think of the British Empire and the colonies in colonizing Americas, you think Virginia. And right, and Hampton is on Chesapeake Bay, this is where the ships came in and out. This is where the colonies began. It is, in that sense, it also became the port, the major port of call as the colonies developed, where the ships came, the goods from Europe and back and forth.
So it's the old adage, location, 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 and
you
it was
got it.
Beautifully
and
located.
It's some of the best, it's some of the most profound and poignant real estate, if you like, in the United States of America.
Right.
And perhaps I can finish on this. And that, the enlightenment you get there, the sense of the people, the sense of community, is the pleasure of the place. And that's why it is such a lifelong learning place to go to, but it is just so much fun.
That's wonderful.
Bob, we're going to go to break here in a moment, and then we're going to chat with the people at the Convention and Visitors Bureau and the other guests. But we'd like you to, if you will, come back towards the end of the show, and we can do maybe we do a little wrap up on all of this.
Would love to, and I'm waiting to hear from our friends in Hampton.
Okay.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on. It's been way too long. I know you've been busy, and you've been traveling, and you're still traveling. But we really appreciate you. You being on today. So
and
we'll
I
look forward to talking to you a little later on.
And I hope you're listening online.
I've got my laptop open here, and I'm listening, and the sound is great.
We're going to break. Thanks, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Bye now. Okay, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Mary Fougere, and she's the Director of Media and Community Relations for Hampton, Virginia. So I'm looking forward to hearing from Mary, because I visited the website and had a look at all sorts of stuff, and it's a great website, and there's all sorts of information there, but it's nothing quite like getting it firsthand from somebody who knows so well. So stay tuned, and we'll be back with Mary shortly.
Thousand Airlines knows the way. USA 3000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fares starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.
Mary, welcome to Talk and Travel with Marcus and Roy, and I've already announced that you are the Director of Media and Community Relations for Hampton, Virginia, but what I'd love to get you to do is to talk about specific attractions, the amenities, the value-added aspects of Hamptons, and whatever you think you want to communicate to our listeners.
Sure.
Let's go for it. How are you?
All right, I'm doing just fine. Thank you so much for having us on your show this morning.
No
pleasure,
problem.
Mary. We thank you very much for inviting us down there and giving us the opportunity to do this.
Well, I really enjoyed the article that's featured on your website. And if you experience that much in that short visit, we want your listeners to know that they are welcome to come down, and we'll pack a lot into their visits as well, and they'll have a wonderful time too, I would hope.
Well, there's a lot to pack in, as
it sure is.
And you did quite a bit.
We covered a lot of ground in a very short period of time, didn't we?
I've got to tell you, Mary, you must have worn Roy out, because he came back, was flat on his back for about 3 days.
It just, you know. Was he really?
That's an exaggeration.
He was exhausted.
Well,
Lee and Bob worked very hard during their visit.
I know they did.
And thanks to Ryan for escorting us around, and we thank you all for joining us for dinner and exposing us to this wonderful experience. Mary, if you will, give us a little background and what the Convention and Visitors Bureau does for Hampton.
Sure, most certainly. The Convention and Visitor Bureau here in Hampton, just a little background, it's been in existence here in Hampton for about 15 years. started as the Conventions and Tourism Department, but basically we serve to make visitors aware of the opportunities available here in Hampton, both in terms of leisure visitation as well as conventions and meetings. And we have a media team, as you've experienced, that helps make publications, radio and television shows also aware so that they can then share their experiences with their audiences. But we have a team of about 20 people who serve to specialize in those areas that I've just mentioned, and as well as the Hampton Visitor Center, which is located in our downtown area. And the Visitor Center serves to greet and welcome our guests, make them know how much we appreciate their visit, and also share, you know, the opportunities that await them in Hampton.
And, of course, the Convention Center. That's a separate part of the Visitor Center, is it?
It most certainly is. Yeah. There is a visitor center inside the Hampton Roads Convention Center, but that's a brand new feature of our city. The Hampton Roads Convention Center opened on May 1st, and it features 344,000 square feet of meeting space, including a 108,000 exhibit hall, square foot exhibit hall, and a large ballroom that can accommodate 2,000. So we're very excited to have the Hampton Roads Convention Center here. And our team markets the Convention Center on behalf of the city.
And the architectural design of the center, I thought, was lovely.
It is. I agree with you. There's a tensile structure at the entrance. It serves to reflect Hampton's nautical heritage and maritime history here. It also serves to complement the Hampton Coliseum, which is an arena just across, an 84,000-square-foot arena just across the compound, and then an Embassy Suites Hotel is adjacent, and we're gearing up for the opening of that new Embassy Suites. It is a headquarters quality hotel, and that will begin to accommodate guests at the beginning of August.
Oh, that's fantastic. That really rounds out the opportunities for conventions and all sorts of expos and that sort of fun stuff and on-site accommodation, so that's a wonderful thing.
Right, but there's lots to do beyond the meeting.
Lots
to do in the downtown area as well as Coliseum Central, Phoebus, and then the Buckrow area of the city. Our city has several districts that each offer something unique to the visitor. Those people who are attending meetings have lots to do within walking distance. They can visit Bass Pro Shops and some very unique restaurants at the power plant of Hampton Roads, such as McFadden's, which is an upscale sports grill, and Saddle Ridge Rock and Country Saloon, Parrot Beach Cafe, and then, of course, top off those experiences with an ice cream at Cold Stone Creamery or coffee at Starbucks. It's a lifestyle entertainment center, so there's lots to do right there, and so it's great break offerings for meetings at the convention center. But just down the road in downtown, it's just 5 minutes away, you have an eclectic mix of restaurants. You have those waterfront attractions like the Virginia Air and Space Center, which is the official visitor center of NASA Langley and also the visitor center for Langley Air Force Base.
Absolutely fascinating.
And the beautiful carousel that Bob got to ride on.
Right. That's a wonderful photo opportunity on the downtown waterfront, and it is a real Hampton treasure.
Yeah, for sure. I like the because I haven't been, but I like the layout that that is obvious in Hampton. It's so easy to get from A to B, and it's so easy to get around the place, even from center to center. And that's got to be a great plus, because I guess not too many people get lost.
This is true. There are several interior corridors that just make it really easy to drive from one end of the city to the other, and you can really experience everything you wish.
The one thing that really fascinates me is the Cousteau Society, and that's how I met my wife, and that's how I ended up in Australia. We were on a research project with the Cousteaus in Fiji.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, and it's a place I've always wanted to visit and never got to visit, so I've got to get there at some stage. But that's obviously a very integral part of the Hampton area as well.
It most certainly is. The building that the Cousteau Society is located in used to serve as our visitor center. It's right on the waterfront, so it's a wonderful welcoming site for our boaters to the downtown public pier into the marinas along the waterway, along the Hampton River there. But the Cousteau Society, they've been in our region for several years, and we're looking for a new location. The Waterfront Visitor Center became available, and they said, we're very interested in Hampton. We were very interested in Cousteau, and a relationship was born. So they have their artifacts, the underwater photography of Jacques Cousteau displayed in that building, and it's a wonderful experience for our Hampton visitors to enjoy while they're either waiting for a Miss Hampton 2 harbor tour, which actually departs from that building and that location, or an excursion aboard the Ocean Eagle, which is a charter vessel that's located right there as well.
Or just having lunch at the Radisson.
Exactly, exactly. Right there at Oyster Alley or Pier 21.
Right, Roy's got to take advantage of those lunches, I tell you.
Well, it's great lunch. It's great food, most definitely.
And an absolutely idyllic setting.
It is lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely, a wonderful place to stay. And Hampton's very fortunate because we have a nice mix of properties in which you can stay and enjoy all with, you know, a wide spectrum of budgets, either upscale or, you know, very economy, whatever you choose.
That's great. That's great.
Well, you're absolutely right, Mary. I mean, from the waterfront, one can walk to some antique shops. One can just wander around the city, and there are great little spots to eat. One of them that we stopped for lunch was the Marker 20, I believe it was. And the feeling, as Bob said earlier in the opening segment of the show, is that everybody was friendly and everybody stopped. And he stopped and he did actually talk to dogs. I don't know if they understood him or not. He was chatting with him, and the lady came over who was the owner of the dogs, and she got into the conversation. And it was all just very homey. And that was the feeling we went away with. And that's a really wonderful experience because you don't get that very often.
Right, I agree.
And I am fascinated by Sandy Bottom Nature Park because I love those sort of parks and reserves. Tell us a little bit about that. That's a fairly large park.
It certainly is. It certainly is, and it's surprisingly it is our most visited attraction here in Hampton.
Really?
It receives over 600,000 visitors a year, and features a wetlands area, man-made lakes that you can actually rent John boats and enjoy fishing in, and you can also rent tent cabins that are there along the waterfront. There's a nature center where you can actually take a look at their laboratories. They have laboratories and classrooms upstairs. They have special programs available for people of all ages, stargazing in the evenings. They have a small amphitheater where they present special programs. It's a true jewel here in Hampton and a free attraction.
Mary, tell us, if you will, some of the coming attractions possibly at the convention center or just some of the events that may be coming up here in the next few months in Hampton.
Sure, most certainly. We have several special events coming up in the near future. Many consumer shows have booked at the Hampton Roads Convention Center and some very unique conferences. Such this fall, we have NikoCon, which is a convention of Japanese anime or animation, and that has a real following, and we expect that it will be a real hit here in Hampton, but they've actually reserved the convention center for several years in advance, and we're excited that they'll be coming. Also, we've just hosted an AAU trampoline and tumbling event at the convention center that brought youth from all across the country. We hope to see lots more events very similar to that. And
we saw part of that. In fact, it was happening while we were there. And when we were over at the convention center, we chatted with some of the people that had children in this particular show, and they were really quite pleased with the area, with the treatment they were getting, with the organization, and We went away with a good feeling from that as well. And it was great seeing all these kids of all ages, actually, out there doing their different calisthenics. It was really a nice experience.
It is a lot of fun to see kids enjoying it. And it was really a sight at the convention center, too, because even though we've had consistent business at the convention center since its opening, that event really took up a lot of space. Filled the exhibit hall. We also had performances of another youth organization upstairs. So we had families all over the building. Now, another unique event that's coming up is the Virginia Motor Coach Association. This is an association of motor coach owners and operators throughout Virginia. They're coming in September 9th through the 13th, and they will be, you know, conducting meetings, but also going out and experiencing Hampton's attractions and activities that they can then market to their clientele.
Fantastic.
So we're looking forward to their visit.
Yeah, because that's a big market.
It is a huge market. We've actually had some of the people on the program from time to time who have taken their RVs to Europe and all over the place, and so that is a very big market. One of the things that really appeals to me, and it's obviously not happening at the convention center, but that's the Romance on the River Wine and Jazz Festival coming up here in September.
Right.
That sounds great. Is that an annual event?
It is. This is actually its third year.
Right.
So we just now can call it an annual event, and it's a fantastic presentation of Virginia wines. Not all Virginia wines. You know, there are a few others in the mix. But what a lovely way to spend, you know, the afternoon on the waterfront. It's right there at Mill Point Park, overlooking the Hampton River. And so you have a delightful presentation of jazz and delicious wine and just a real leisurely way to spend the afternoon.
Sounds super.
Now, Mary, I understand that you have our charming friend Herb Myers with you, who is going to take us on a little bit of a historical tour, and of course Herb, we went with Herb over to the fort, and I think that he's there with you, is he not?
He most certainly is.
Well, if you'd let us chat with him, we'd be very pleased.
I will pass the phone. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary.
It was
wonderful
talking with you.
Thank you.
Bye now. Now, Herb Myers, who's coming on, is a local historian and offers excursions, tours aboard the good ship Miss Hampton, which you can find at the website at misshamptoncruises.com.
Which also docks right there.
Docks right there.
Right by the Cousteau Society, actually.
Right. And I think Herb is on. Herb, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful. Great to hear from you.
Good morning, Herb. How are you?
Good to speak with you, gentlemen.
Nice to chat with you again, and we want to thank you on behalf of Bob Fisher and myself and Marcus for the wonderful excursion you took us on over to Fort Wool.
Sounded fabulous. Yeah. I'm very envious.
And if you just would kind of pick up and go back to the history, as you seem to be the real expert on all of this, give us some of the background, if you will.
The history of Hampton or the history of Fort Wool?
Well, I think
probably
we could combine
Fort
a little Wool of both. We could start maybe with Hampton and then go into Fort Wool, because they're all kind of one and the same in a sense, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And you know, when you start speaking about history of Hampton, you know, we go back to the 17th century. Hampton is very deep and steeped in history, and it actually began with two famous explorers, Captain John Smith and Captain Christopher Newport. And this was when the British actually began exploring the New World. They sailed their three small ships, the Susan Constant, Godspeed, and Discovery, here. They landed in the New World in April of 1607, and as they explored the Hampton area, which was originally known as Kinkatan, it was an Indian village back in the 17th century, they further moved up the James River and finally settled the Jamestown colony. Now, 2 years later, Captain Christopher Newport brought another contingent of settlers back to this area. He once again landed in Hampton at Point Comfort, and a colony began there. So in 1610, actually July the 9th, 1610, our city of Hampton is established.
And the area was one of the first English-speaking colonies, was it not?
Yes, it is. Although Jamestown was the first, back in the year 1699, our Jamestown colony was abandoned for a short period of time. And that single fact gives Hampton the distinction of being the oldest continuous English-speaking settlement in the United States.
just amazing because we didn't really get, when one looks back at history and school and the rest of it, when we actually walked in the footsteps and the places that you took us, we got the real feeling of what it was all about. And I think we tend to lose track of our history sometimes, and you kind of all brought it back to us, and it's just a marvelous, marvelous experience. But continue on, if you will, Herb, please.
Well, as we progress through the years, you know, Hampton is famous for a lot of firsts, actually. The first free public school in the United States was founded right here in Hampton by Benjamin Sims and Thomas Eaton, and that's also commemorated in the Sims-Eaton Museum. Hampton is also the site of Hampton University, which was established back in 1868, just after the American Civil War. And its original purpose was the education of freedmen and, for a period of time, American Indians as well. St. John's Episcopal Parish was founded here in the year 1610, and that's the oldest Episcopal parish in the United States also.
Mm-hmm.
We can then go through some of our other history, speaking about the military, both Fort Monroe and Fort Wool. These are actually pre-Civil War era forts built back in the early 19th century to safeguard the area of Hampton and also the harbor or port of Hampton Roads.
But we were really impressed when we got over there and over to Fort Wool and walking around in that environment and looking over the harbor and the placement and the planning of the fort was just incredible.
Well, both forts were strategically placed here to protect the harbor of Hampton Roads, especially Fort Wool. Both Fort Monroe and Fort Wool owe their beginnings back to the American Revolutionary War and to the War of 1812. And if you remember, both of those wars were fought with the British, but during each of those conflicts, British warships sailed unobstructed into the harbor of Hampton Roads, where they actually bombarded the city of Hampton. Some of that naval bombardment actually killed quite a few innocent civilians, including helpless women and children. And after the conflicts were over, by the way, we won both, our nation vowed it would never again allow enemy warships to sail unobstructed into our harbors. So our nation devised a series of coastal defenses back in the early 19th century to safeguard all the populated harbors along the eastern seaboard of our nation. And this is from Maine all the way to Florida and around the Gulf of Mexico.
Of course, we've got two of them here.
Exactly right. So in the year 1819, not only did construction begin on Fortress Monroe at Old Point Comfort, but construction also began on a 15-acre man-made island in the middle of our harbor. Originally known as Fortress Calhoun, or also the Fort of the Riffraffs, it later was renamed Fort Wool.
Fort of the Riffraffs, I like that. Where did that come from?
Well, the riffraff is actually a shoal area, a shallow spot in the harbor. And as visiting ships came into the harbor, they would take stone or granite that was used as ballast out of the bottom of the ship and dropped in this shoaled area, and it became called the Riffraff Shoals.
Ah.
And it was on that point that the military engineers decided they were going to go ahead and build a man-made island to support a fort.
Excellent. Excellent. Fascinating stuff. And the forts look to be fairly well preserved.
Yes, they are. In fact, Fortress Monroe is actually the only stone fort in the United States of America that is still on active duty status.
Good heavens.
Both forts protected our harbor not only through the 19th and 20th century, but also through the American Civil War, Spanish-American War, First and Second World Wars.
And the ramparts at the fort were just incredible. The steel basings and one could just take a step back in time and envision the way it all looked in history. It was quite amazing.
Certainly. As you walk the parade grounds of Fort Wool, it's actually just like stepping back in time, viewing the original casemates. And, you know, we also had three presidential visits out there. President Andrew Jackson, President John Tyler, and President Abraham Lincoln all stood upon the ramparts of Fort Wool. So as you walk the grounds of the fort, you can just imagine in your mind these three presidents walking in the same spots they did. And again, a step back in time.
Right. And another famous character of the area was Blackbeard, was it not?
Oh, yes, Mr. Edward Teach.
Yeah.
A villainous fellow.
Yes, indeed.
I think he's a relative of Marcus's, actually. Marcus comes from a very strange part of the world.
Down under, of course. We didn't have Blackbeard down under.
It was Captain Cook in your days, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had a whole lot of different named villains like Matthew Brady and all those. Yeah,
until we hit Captain
Ned Kelly.
Cook.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Herb, continue on with.
Well, speaking about Mr. Teach, alias Blackbeard, you know, back in the 1700s, Hampton was Virginia's leading seaport. And that fact in itself, you know, attracted the attention of that unsavory element of society, which we knew as pirates. And Mr. Edward Teach was one of the most famous pirates to ever terrorize the east coast of our nation. At the height of his career, he had over 700 other pirates working for him and dozens of ships. But he only had a two-year career as a pirate, from the year 1716 to the year 1718. But all that was cut short when the governor of Virginia, which at that point in time was Alexander Spotswood, hired a couple of sloops of British Marines under the command of a Lieutenant Robert Maynard. And the lieutenant, of course, was tasked with the responsibility of tracking down and capturing Blackbeard. So the Royal Marines set sail out of Hampton, and they caught up with Blackbeard and his pirates 4 days later off the coast of the Outer Banks of North Carolina, very close to Blackbeard's favorite hideout, which was located on Ocracoke Island. Well, when the two factions met, there was a bloody all-day battle and heavy casualties on both sides. In fact, there was even a hand-to-hand combat duel between Lieutenant Maynard and Blackbeard himself. But when the battle was over and the smoke had finally cleared, Blackbeard was found lying dead on the deck of his ship. He'd sustained 20 sword wounds and 5 gunshot wounds before he finally succumbed to the loss of blood.
Good heavens above.
An interesting side note here. The Marines that I just mentioned a moment ago, They actually cut off Blackbeard's head. They put it on a ship. They brought it right back here to Hampton and presented it to Governor Spotswood as a trophy. Virginia's governor, in turn, placed Blackbeard's head on a 20-foot wooden pole on a point of land right off the Hampton River, and that was a warning to the rest of the pirates in this particular area. And in essence, the governor's message was simple. It said, this is what we did to your leader. We'll do the same thing to you. Now get out of here and leave us alone.
Very strong message indeed.
Indeed.
What happened to Blackbeard's remains? I mean, there's so much speculation on that there's actually remains in Hampton. Is that true?
Well, you know, there is speculation to that, and we have heard stories on both sides that there isn't, that there is not. And in fact, I am actually uncertain of that.
Right. One of the other historic firsts, I believe, of the Hampton area was the first Christmas celebrated in the New World.
Yes, I believe that is true as well. And, you know, we can actually claim so many, many firsts here in Hampton. Not only about the first Christmas, but also the first free public education. America's first to be the most continuous English-speaking settlement in the United States. And Hampton was also the first training grounds for America's astronauts, back with the Mercury program in the late 1950s and early 1960s. So quite a few firsts that we can actually speak about here in our city of Hampton.
That's amazing. That's just amazing. And I wonder if it'll be a training ground for the first public people that are able to come up with $100 million and fly around the moon on the Russian program.
Oh, we would certainly hope so.
Herb, it's been wonderful, and once again, the tour you took us on was absolutely spectacular. You might just take a moment, if you will, and tell us a little bit about the Miss Hampton.
Well, the Miss Hampton is our harbor cruise boat, which docks right down here at the waterfront in Hampton, and they offer a 2.5-hour cruise around the harbor of Hampton Roads. Now, as you board the Miss Hampton, you'll cruise down the Hampton River out into the harbor of Hampton Roads, which, by the way, is one of the world's largest natural harbors. From there, you'll take a turn to the east, and we'll actually leave the harbor of Hampton Roads and venture out into the Chesapeake Bay. We'll go through the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel Complex out by Old Point Comfort, which is the same spot that Captain John Smith and Captain Christopher Newport landed back with their three small ships in 1607. The narrators on board the Miss Hampton will give you an in-depth history lesson about the New World as it was formed and the role that Captain John Smith and Captain Christopher Newport played in the city of Hampton. We'll then look at some beautiful sites such as Old Point Comfort, Fortress Monroe, and the Old Point Comfort Lighthouse, which is the oldest continuous operating lighthouse on the east coast of the United States, built in the year 1802. The Miss Hampton will then cross the harbor and take you over to Fort Wool, and there, depending upon the homeland security of the area, we'll give you a tour of the island itself. And once that's completed, the Miss Hampton will cruise back into the harbor of Hampton Roads down to the world's largest naval base over in Norfolk. from there, the professional narrators on board will give you an in-depth narration of each individual warship that's in port today. And generally, those include nuclear-powered aircraft carriers, large amphibious assault ships, guided missile cruisers, destroyers, underway replenishment ships, and even nuclear-powered submarines as well. At that point in the cruise, we'll then turn west, head to the far side of our harbor, where a famous battle was fought during the American Civil War, and that was the battle between the ironclads, battle between the Monitor and the Merrimack, or the Monitor and the Virginia. And our narrators will give you an in-depth history about that, and then we'll cross the harbor one final time, and by that time we spent a wonderful 2.5 hours in a beautiful, beautiful setting.
Great tour and a great value, I'm sure, and anybody going to Hampton would certainly not want to miss that. And they can go to the website. I believe there's MissHamptonCruises.com, if I'm correct.
Yes, that is correct.
And, Herb, we thank you very much for being with us. And, once again, we thank you for the great tour that you took us on. And we encourage our listeners to check out the Miss Hampton when they get there. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, I understand Jim Bau, the wonderful and famous Jim Bau, is going to be with us. So stay on with us, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk and Travel on the Travel Talk Radio Network. We're going to break and we'll be back soon. Stay tuned.
Totally gone native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks, all-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a 7-night total all-inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. You'll totally want to do it again. Oh, yeah.
Well, I think that's good lead-in music for our friend and the one and only Jim Bau. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Just another day in paradise.
You devil, you. I want to thank you on behalf of myself and Bob Fisher and, of course, Marcus, who didn't get to go on the ride on that fabulous boat of yours, for taking us over there and giving us a fabulous experience. I think there's even a picture on the website of that the shot when we went around the mile marker of the Osprey landing in the
nest.
Osprey nest,
there is indeed.
And
well, whatever happened to Marcus? I was hoping he'd chip in on for some of the gas money.
I'm here. Yeah, I chipped in the gas money on a regular basis on this program.
somebody had to mind the store, and he's Australian. You know, if he got down there, it would be all that outback talk and all that history. So he was here minding the store. Jim, I don't know if you've noticed, but on the website we have a video clip of your. Of a little interview that we did with you. And also for those listeners that are at home and would like to go to the website and follow this along, you can go to jimbougs.outdoors.com. That's J-I-M-B-O-U-G-H-S, outdoors.com. And it's a great site with great information, and we just love it, and we love Jim. Jim, tell us about the harbor and the boating and all of that good stuff that we saw.
Well, basically, Hampton, I think, well, the Chesapeake Bay is, it's got to be, I'm sure it is the largest estuary in the world, and it is. And it's just a place where fish come and they breed, they migrate to. So it's certainly one of the best, areas for fishing on the East Coast. And Hampton is located right in the lower portion of the Chesapeake Bay. And you just go right out of the Hampton River, and you can either go take a right, and you can be catching 55-pound giant blue catfish, or you can take a left and go bluefin tuna fishing. So you've really got this great location, probably better than any access in the entire Chesapeake Bay.
We even went under the bridge there for a while. There was some good fishing there, I believe.
Yeah, right at Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel, and we're talking about like a 3-minute boat ride from our dock. We're right there at the bridge tunnel. And actually, the first year we were here shooting programs for a TV show, we did all of our shows right there at the bridge tunnel.
Yeah, nice spot.
Flounder, rockfish, just about anything you want to catch.
Yep.
All those fish that migrate have to go over that tunnel and through that pass to go up to the James River. So it's quite a little highway we've got right in, you know, right in front of our home port here.
Well, tell us some of the latest happenings.
Well, the spade fish bite is on. It is really, really, really good. And spade fish have been up here for probably about solid, real strong, about 7 or 8 years. And that's also a popular fish down in Florida. And a citation right here is around 8 pounds.
Right.
And the fishing along the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel is excellent for spade fish, as well as the light tower. And right now, that's pretty much the hot fish, spade fish and also big flounder, you know, 8-pound, 9-pound flounder. Around the Hampton area, the Hampton Bar is just one of the best places for flounder in the entire Chesapeake Bay.
And flounder's good eating.
Flounder's excellent eating. We also had a fairly good bluefin tuna run here a couple of weeks ago, coming up from Hatteras and migrating north. So we've been catching a fair amount of bluefins and yellowfins. Of course, the inshore fish primarily has been flounder and spade fish.
Now, for those that haven't come in with their own boats, and it's an area that I'd also like to cover, but there are fishing boats and fishing excursions available, I assume.
Sure. Yeah, you can log right onto our website, jimbaughoutdoors.com, or just type on any search engine, Jim Baugh, and it'll take you right to our website. Right on our main page, you'll see a link that says charters, and all of those listings have web links and telephone numbers. I believe all those charters are right here out of Hampton, and there's a lot of them, from head boats to offshore boats to even tour boats. Any information you want from regarding charters, you can get right off our website. Very easy.
Now, Hampton as a boater's destination. Tell us about that.
Well, it's pretty incredible. What's most exciting is that one of the new things we just got in is Wi-Fi, wireless internet. So I've got two boats, as you saw, the 36 Trojan, which I pretty much stay on, and then our show boat is 28-footer. It's got a nice widescreen laptop downstairs, and all I got to do is turn it on, and boom, I've got wireless internet right there at cable speed. So boaters come in, they can have their wireless internet on the boat, and it's free. You know, it's supported by local advertisers, so it doesn't really cost you anything. And it's very wonderful. I mean, we'll come in on the weekend. I mean, last weekend there was a really good band playing after we came in fishing, and I just went downstairs, got on the internet, and emailed a bunch of my friends, and they showed up and, came down and had a good time,
Amazing. Absolutely
amazing.
Yeah,
it's wonderful. And you've got a lot of amenities here. Certainly, you get the tide right in front of the public piers. You get the Radisson Hotel, which have access to the swimming pool and their facilities as a boater, which is wonderful. Again, you have tour ships, tour boats, and the Cousteau Center is right there. And for the ladies, we've got a brand new, ladies and men, we have a new salon that's opened up right there at the public piers. It's called Topper, so you can get your nails done, your hair cut, so you look good for the weekend when you come in. Pretty much if you come in by boat, you can just walk right to the downtown area and get everything you need. Restaurants, shopping, it's probably, for a boater on the Chesapeake Bay, it's the number one place to be.
I was amazed to find that there are 12 marinas in Hampton. That's incredible.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
Blue Water, they're a huge Viking dealership, and excellent place to also get your yacht service. And that's sometimes a hard thing to find. If you need some good work done to your boat. My Trojan's almost like 30 years old, so, I'm always having work done to it. And to have a good boatyard is a very important thing. So
sure
they're about the best in the business. Not only in boat sales, but for working on them. So anything to do with a boat, you pretty much can have it taken care of here, in the Hampton area.
And, of course, the exciting thing about being water-based and, centered around the harbor is all of the activities that take place, the regattas and the concert series and all that sort of fun stuff. For boaters, important, and the fishing tournaments, of course.
Well, for a boater, what always blew me away about Hampton, that I've never really seen this in other areas. If you come in for a weekend by boat, for example, the different agencies or whatever in the city put on a lot of events. So when you come in as a boater, like on Friday night, you've got a jazz concert series playing at Mill Point Park, which is right there downtown,
right,
all within, 50 yards of where your boat's got.
Absolutely.
You've got music, various bands and entertainment going on the weekends that are all right here. So you really have a lot of entertainment going on, and it's a very family-oriented place. And but speaking of fishing, a couple of quick things.
Yeah.
One, I get a lot of people from Florida come up here actually for our croaker fishing.
Is that
and
right?
Around here, croaker is just, we love to go croaker fishing. Everybody catches croaker, but the croaker migrate up here, and they get very, very large. And I really have a lot of friends that come up from Florida just to go croaker fishing and take coolers of croaker back down to Florida.
Huh? Good heavens.
Yeah, because y'all don't catch croaker down there very big. I mean,
no.
we'll catch them 3 pounds, you know, if it's monster croaker.
That's great.
And a rockfish, y'all coming up for the rockfish tournament this year?
Yep.
The Get Hooked on Hampton Rockfish Tournament Oyster Bash. It's a must.
Absolutely.
Held November 19th. And this year, I think we got about $60,000 up for grabs.
No
wow,
kidding.
That's good.
Big event.
Yeah.
All you can eat oysters at the end of it. It's going to be wonderful.
Great time. Great time. In fact, I think we just missed it by a week.
November.
Did we win? No, November.
November.
Well, yeah, okay, that's what it was. But
it's a wonderful event. Y'all need to come on up and enter in, you know, for the radio show and everything. It'd be wonderful.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We could do our broadcast from up there while we're fishing. That'd be fun.
That'd be awesome.
If you've got Wi-Fi, we can handle that.
He's got a lot more than that.
Nothing that tastes better than a Chesapeake Bay rockfish.
Yeah. I was just blown away by the size of the flounder because in Tasmania, where I was born, we get a lot of flounder. But we never get flounder to 9 pounds. That's a big flounder.
Yeah, they're big. And there's just a lot of good areas around here for flounder. I mean, a lot of good hard sandy bottoms.
Yeah.
And literally the Hampton Bar is really one of the little secret hot, well, it's not secret around here. Everybody knows it's a, you know, great fishery.
Right.
But that the Hampton Bar is a shallow area that pretty much goes the length of the channel from the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel area down all the way really to Monitor Merrimack. And there's an ammo pier down there also that is very, very good flounder fishing. And it's just a real big channel and a huge ledge, so there's lots of good different water depths you can fish. And pretty much you're guaranteed to catch flounder. I mean, it's just every trip we catch them.
That's fabulous.
Now, we don't pull 9 pounders off every day, you know.
Yeah. For the boaters coming into the harbor, it's a pretty easy entrance, I would guess. You get aircraft carriers going in and out of there. So coming off the intercoastal, everything is pretty recognizable.
Extremely clearly marked and deep water channel.
Right.
And another nice thing about Hampton River, where all the amenities are and the marinas and everything, it's not like you've got to go 5 miles inland by boat or anything, or you have to go through really, really long no-wake zones.
Yep.
And once you come to the Hampton River, there's a no-wake zone, but boom, you're there. I mean, you're literally at Blue Water Marina.
Right.
When you come your boat off a plane, you're at Blue Water. And it's just everything is right there. And you just don't have to take 30 minutes by boat to go, you know. We've all been down the inland waterway. And it can get kind of tiring going through these no-wake zones and just taking forever just to get your marina. But here in Hampton, everything is right there.
Yeah, it drives you crazy down here, I tell you.
Yeah, well, here we have all these manatee zones, and it takes forever in some areas just to get from Sarasota to Venice, unless you go out, of course, into the Gulf. And there are days you can't always do that, obviously.
Well, I was not out on the water this morning, but I was out all yesterday, and I didn't see any manatees around here. So we're manatee-less up here.
Yeah, Jim. One of the interesting things, unless I'm mistaken, was that the Hampton Pier, the downtown pier, wasn't that the first clean marina in Virginia?
I believe it is.
Yeah. And that's becoming more and more topical in marine circles right now. And that was great for Hampton to lead the way in that respect because you know. Boaters have had a bad rap for a long time, and it's not always the boaters that do the damage, but it's great when a boating organization and a city get behind a clean water project.
Well, all the boaters, all the listeners should know that we have, as of this year, very recently actually, brand new piers at the Hampton Public Piers. And they're that concrete, floating concrete piers. I mean, they're absolutely wonderful. Also, a new pump-out station for the boaters. They just come right in. We also have showers here, you know, for the boaters. Just anything that you need, pretty much, as a boater, you can have right here.
That sounds like it, yeah.
It's wonderful. We also have the new Bass Pro Shops here, which is not on the waterfront, but it's pretty close. Short little cab right away, and you're at the huge new Bass Pro Shops, which is totally awesome.
That looks absolutely amazing, with its own lake and those own fishing areas and stuff.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And lots of restaurants and everything. It's right at the power plant. It's just a huge complex.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you're a boater, it's the number one place to go.
Right.
Jim, do we have a little bit of time left? Give our listeners information on your website and a little bit about your show, if you will.
Well, our show, I guess we're on about 17, 18 years now. We started out as Fishing Virginia, and as we syndicated out of the state, we eventually just changed the name to Jim Boy Outdoors. And we are on Comcast Sportsnet. We just finished airing on CSN. We've also aired on the Outdoor Channel. We air on the Sportsman's Channel. We also air on affiliate stations around Virginia and in past in the Carolinas. And primarily what we do is saltwater fishing, bay, tidal, and river. And we do a lot of tourism and travel and entertainment segments. We're based here out of Hampton. We work with Hampton Tourism, you know, to promote and feature, you know, all the things in Hampton, which is wonderful. It's just a great home for us. It really is. Again, Hampton has everything that, you know, a boater or fisherman could need. So since I'm both a boater and fisherman, it fits pretty good. But the website we have a very, very, very large site. I mean, we have over a gig online.
Right.
A lot of our TV shows you can stream right off of the website. You can order our year-end DVDs there. All the information about our sponsors are there. But we also have a lot of essays on our site. And I kind of picked up that idea from David Pasco, which is a very well-known, from Florida, marine surveyor. And that's like one of the number one popular sites for boaters to go to. And I really like the information that he had about different yachts and things. It's just very helpful.
Sure.
So I said, well, I'll do something similar, and I'll have all these different essays and stuff that I'm familiar with boating, and it's helped a lot of people, from how to avoid seasickness to how to do teak, where to dock your boat, that sort of thing. And we have probably the largest GPS database on the Internet, at least the largest that I've found. And not only do we have the GPS numbers of around here in Hampton and the bay and offshore, we also have a lot of pictures of the actual ships that were sunk. So you get to see, like, these World War II ships before they sunk, and then you have the GPS numbers of where they are, you know, things like that. And I've also worked with the Artificial Reef Program in the state of Virginia and gone out and videotaped actual artificial reefs being sunk, like train cars, and actually show the train cars sinking and then the locations with the GPS numbers. And all that's on our website.
It's all good stuff.
Great stuff.
And give us the website one more time.
JimBaughOutdoors.com. That's JimBaughOutdoors.
Jim, thanks very much. We really enjoyed your hospitality while we're there. Look forward to seeing you again one of these fine days. And thank everybody for us. We're going to go to break, and we're going to just chat with your friend as a wind-up, Sarah Day, over at the Radisson when we come back.
Great.
Thanks okay, again. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye now.
USA 3000 Airlines knows the way. USA 3000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fares starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.
And we're coming back here, are we not?
We certainly are, and we've invited Sarah Day, who's the sales manager of the Radisson Hotel, to speak to us about accommodations, public facilities, marina, meeting space, and all sorts of weekly activities. So let's hear from Sarah.
Hi there.
Hi, Sarah. Well, listen, not only is she all of those things, but she's a native Hampton.
I am.
Oh, really?
Yes, I am. I was raised here in Hampton, right down the street from the hotel, actually, and I still live in Hampton.
I mean, you've had that view for a lot of years then.
I'm sorry?
You've had that view for a lot of years.
I have, and I tell you, you get spoiled. You get too used to it. I went away to school in D.C., and I missed it. I missed seeing the water every day.
Yeah, that's great. That's right. Yeah. You did go away for that. But that was about the only time you were away, wasn't it?
Yes, certainly was. The rest of my time has been spent here in Hanson.
Well, for those listening, first of all, you can go to our website, ttrn.com. And if you're at home, and you can actually listen to the show live, as most of you know. And you can scroll down and look at some of the photos on Bob's article, which Sarah so kindly complimented on the other day.
It was. It was a lovely article.
Sure is.
And the site of the hotel is absolutely incredible. It's right on the water, right in the center of the historic area. We had the pleasure of taking a couple of meals there, which were absolutely great. And tell us a little bit more about it, if you will, Sarah, from your perspective.
Well, the hotel is about 17 years old, so we are semi-new property, downtown Hanson. Downtown Hanson has seen kind of a redevelopment in the past 20 years and really built up the life down here. Like you said, we are situated on the waterfront and right at the harbor of downtown Hanson. We're located right across the water from Hanson University, so that's a beautiful view also from our hotel. From our hotel, you can see four of Hanson's marinas. The marina right behind us is run by the downtown Hanson docks. And they rent out the slips, and we have, all throughout the summer, we'll have boaters come in, spend the weekend with us, and they'll stay in the hotel just for a change of pace. But the boat docks stay pretty busy. The Radisson has 172 guest rooms, with our highest level is our executive level, which the rooms are suites on that floor. We have three restaurants here. Like you were saying, you spent some time with us and got to eat in some of our restaurants. We have a full-service bar, Signal Sports Bar. We have a beautiful outdoor oyster bar called Oyster Alley, and that's open seasonal.
Which is right on the marina, we might mention.
It is. Beautiful water view.
As you know, Jim was just on a little while ago, and he said he brought in a bunch of fishermen, and, of course, you can just hop right out of the boat right into the restaurant and have a toddy.
That's right. And see, what's great is on Saturday nights, we put a band out there on the docks, and we put a couple of bars out on the docks, and we have a big block party that coincides with downtown Hanson's block party, which is just across the street. They close off the Cobblestone Street Queensway, and they put some bands out there and a couple of beer trucks and some things for some kids to do. And it stays pretty busy every Saturday night down there.
That's what Jim was saying. He said it's great fun.
You
come
fun.
In on your boat, and before you know it, you're in the middle of a party somewhere.
That's exactly
and there's always
right.
music and always things happening. So that's great. The restaurant, the restaurants at the hotel, what style restaurants are they?
Well, Pier 21 is our it's a little bit of a fancier restaurant. They're all American Bistro.
Okay.
Pier 21 serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's full service. We have a wonderful award-winning chef named Ray Garrow, and we specialize in seafood because, obviously, in Hanson, you're going to get the best seafood, and we're a little bit experimental. During the day, during the weekday, we do a pasta bar and a salad bar, but in the evenings, it's a little bit more fancy. Then we have our signals, which you can get everything from a burger to a steak there, and then outdoors, we focus mainly on casual cafe food and seafood. You can get everything from raw oysters, clams, steamed crabs, and steamed shrimp out there.
Right. That sounds great. The oyster bar sounds more like my style.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun out there. That's one thing about Hanson. People do know how to have a good time down here.
And the great thing, Marcus, unfortunately you didn't get to experience, is that from that location, You're not only are you on the marina, but you're right in the center,
right in the center of all the historic area.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
right.
What we were talking about it yesterday. And
you can go on a merry-go-round,
you can just
ride.
Walk everywhere. You don't even need to rent a car if you're staying there.
Absolutely. We're located in walking distance to all the beautiful antique shops, all the pubs that are right down the street from us. The Virginia Air and Space Center is amazing, and that's also in walking distance. You can see it from our hotel right next door.
Yeah, that's great.
The Hanson Carousel, which is over 100 years old, that's been restored, is also right next to us in Carousel Park. And what's nice for us is that when Hanson has its festivals, whether it be the Blackbeard Festival or Bay Days, which is in September, we are the hub for those festivals. So it's nice. You can come stay in the hotel for the weekend and enjoy the tall ships that come for the Blackbeard Festival, or all of the many different vendors that come for Bay Days each year.
Right.
Now, the hotel, did we cover meeting space?
We have over 10,000 square feet of meeting space. So we do a lot of weddings, we do a lot of family reunions, we do a lot of military business as well.
Right.
So you can pretty much have anything here. We can have you know, 1,000 people in our ballroom for a reception style, or 500 with a sit-down meal.
But it's a great property and a great location, and I just got the feeling that my stay there was just too short. There was a lot more. I think just strolling around the streets would have been, you know, if we would have had the time, would have been very interesting, and certainly the Saturday night festivals would have been fun.
Right.
You have entertainment there every Saturday night.
Right, during the summertime. It goes from spring to fall.
Right. Now, but do they do the street festival every Saturday night as well?
Yes, every Saturday night they do the street festival, the Hampton Block Party. It's in downtown Hampton.
Okay.
And every Wednesday night they have a band in the Mill Point Park, which is the park diagonal to the Radisson, also part of downtown Hampton. And they put one of our local radio stations hosts normally a country band or a beach music band down at Mill Point Park. And then that's on Wednesdays. And on Friday nights we have a wine and jazz party every Friday night down at Mill Point Park.
So instead, in addition to all the history, Marcus,
mm-hmm.
that is you're a pretty good party town.
We like to have a good time. In the summer here, we like to be outside and appreciate what our town has to offer. It's a beautiful setting down here in downtown Hampton. And so the city does a really great job of getting everybody involved and having something that will appeal to anybody.
Well, you know, as coming back on the aircraft and as chatting with Bob Fisher and Marcus when I got back, Hampton would be a great place to base yourself,
yes,
and do your day trips from there.
Absolutely.
Rather than, you know, I mean, you can do Virginia Beach in a day, and, you know, you do a beach in the day, you want to go back somewhere where you're going to go, you know, where it's relaxing, you've
right.
got all this quaint atmosphere. And so that has been kind of our overview of what we saw, and that's what we've recommended. Base yourself in Hampton, stay there for a week or however long you want to stay, and do your day trips from there. And we assure you that Sarah will show you a good time.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it is great. We're only, you know, half an hour from Colonial Williamsburg and the Colonial Triangle of Jamestown, Yorktown, and Williamsburg, half an hour from the beach and from Norfolk. And we're only a short drive to Washington, D.C., so if you're coming from a far way away, this is, just like you said, it's a central location to stay.
That's great.
And, of course, the flights into Newport News and to Norfolk are obviously very, very frequent.
Yes, it's a piece of cake, and we'll even pick you up at the airport. You don't have to worry about any of that. We have a rental car right here at the hotel, so your Enterprise rental car would be happy to set you up with a rent a car so you can make all those day trips.
Well, if I had known you'd
right.
have picked us up at the airport, I enjoyed Ryan's company, but I think I would have...
we'll be happy to come and get you.
Down, boy, down. Sarah, it's been an absolute delight having you on.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It was a pleasure to talk to you about this city that I love so well.
And it is a magnificent property.
Before you go,
yeah.
How about giving us your website, and also if there's an 800 number for people that would be interested in...
Of course. On our website, you can go to www.radisson.com, that's RADISSON.com/HamptonVA. And that'll bring you right directly to our site that has beautiful pictures of everything from our pool deck to the marina. You can also book packages right online. You can book your stays right online. Also, you can call 1-800-333-3333. Nice and easy.
Nice
to make
and
your
easy.
Reservations with us.
That's the style. Nice and easy.
Nice and easy. That's right. Everything's pretty laid back here, and you get a true taste of Southern hospitality when you come to visit us.
Sure do. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks,
Sarah. We love talking to you. Love to see you again.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye
now. All right. You're listening to Marcus and Roy on the Travel Talk Radio Network on Talk and Travel, and we're going to take a short musical break so that Roy can get a hold of Bob, so that he can bring us back up to speed. So dial away, Roy.
Well, while Roy is trying to get a hold of Bob, let's look at next week's guests, because we've got some great guests lined up for next week. And the first one will be Karen LaPerle, who's going to be talking about the world of agritourism, which is kind of interesting subject. And then we'll have Martha Honey on International Ecotourism Society. And Johnny Jupp will join us again, wherever in the world he may be. So stay tuned next week. Tune in at 11 until 12 noon, and we'll be back on the air. And I think, unless I'm mistaken, Roy has now got a hold of Bob.
You're never mistaken.
Tell him, Bob.
You guys are always bang on.
Oh, always, almost.
I know. I listened to the interview the two of you did on the radio station in Fort Myers, the public radio station, and it was terrific. Told it as it was.
It was kind of fun taking listeners, because it's something that we don't usually do on the show, and because of the content, if we're into an author or into something, and if somebody will call and want to know how to get to Kalamazoo, Michigan, and you keep fending off those calls, and somebody keeps censoring them, but we hope you got an opportunity to listen to the show, and we're still on.
Yeah.
Let's just wrap it up a little bit. First of all, we did have a great trip. The hospitality was great. The destination is wonderful. The people were just spectacular. Even the dogs you spoke to were nice.
The dogs especially, I'll tell you, because that's, it was a really important experience for me because, once again, you know things, but you have to be reminded of them, that often the most important things, the most interesting things are in your own